Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back. I'm pleased to say, joined by Dr. Keith Payne, truly one of the country's preeminent authorities on matters involving nuclear deterrence and strategy. He is the president and co-founder of a highly regarded, in fact, I think, indispensable organization, the National Institute for Public Policy. He is also the head of the Graduate Department of Defense and Strategic Studies at Missouri State University, a post that he inherited from the highly revered and much lamented late William Graham. Dr. Payne, welcome back. It's always good to have you with us, sir.
Thank you, Frank. It's a pleasure to be back.
We talked earlier in the program with one of our colleagues, Clifford May, about the extent to which there is a nuclear deal in the offing with Iran. I was interested in getting your perspective, if I could, Keith, on what the likely effects of this deal will be upon both neighbors in the region and perhaps nations elsewhere as sort of the non-proliferation regime goes to hell in a handbasket.
It seems to me that whatever the ins and outs of this agreement and whatever the details of it may turn out to be, if this agreement doesn't provide very solid confidence to Iran's neighbors, many of Iran's neighbors, they are going to feel under great pressure to move to help provide for their own security. And for some of them, that's going to lead to them considering nuclear weapons themselves. And that's not just my interpretation. A number of Iran's neighbors that do not have friendly relations with Iran, including Saudi Arabia, have said as much as that.
It seems as though it may include the Egyptians, the Turks, and others. But Dr. Payne, you've also been tracking over the years the kind of Faustian bargain that we've tried to strike, whereby we help in some cases ourselves, in other cases other nations, to obtain parts of the nuclear fuel cycle for nuclear power purposes, but not to go the full route of actually having nuclear weapons capability as well. Do you anticipate that the rewriting of basically the contract on how one can restrict that sort of side-slipping into nuclear weapons programs will also mean more proliferation around the world of the nuclear weapons variety?
Yeah, that's a great point. And again, I don't know the details of this agreement, but from recent press accounts, it suggests that it will leave Iran with the prerogative of having 6,000 centrifuges, really poking a hole in the non-proliferation treaty that I don't know how it can be, in a sense, filled. What it looks to me as if is this agreement, if it goes forward, as at least it's been described publicly, really takes the rug out from under the NPT and is likely to lead other countries to understandably say, if they have that prerogative, then I have that prerogative. And in the context of the proliferation cascade that could result as a result of Iran moving towards a nuclear capability, it seems to me that the NPT, which the administration has at least said that it wants very badly to strengthen in reverse, what we'll see happening is the NPT, I think, will have a truck driven through it.
Keith Payne is our guest. He is the author, co-author, or editor of over 100 articles, many of them dealing with these sorts of issues involving nuclear forces, nuclear deterrence, nuclear strategy. Also 16 books and monographs, a truly extraordinary record, one of which is The Great American Gamble, Deterrence Policy and Theory from the Cold War to the 21st Century. And Keith Payne, I guess one of the things that strikes me about all of this is that it's happening in the period in which the Obama administration, talk about having trucks run over or through things, seems to have decided to throw our nuclear deterrent more or less under the bus in favor of something you described recently in the Wall Street Journal as a sort of nuclear utopianism. How is the administration's posture perhaps contributing to other nations that have historically relied upon our nuclear umbrella, our deterrent to protect them, now factoring into these sorts of calculations that you've just discussed?
Yeah, another great question. What I see is a tension really between the extended deterrence or nuclear umbrella commitments the U.S. has made to 30-plus countries and the announced drive of the administration, the announced goal of the administration, to move to nuclear zero. What we know is that a number of our allies are very concerned about their security, as you might understand, given Russia's behavior in Ukraine, and that they do not see deep further U.S. nuclear reductions as something that's going to be advantageous in their security position. In fact, rather than assuring them with our nuclear deterrence, it seems to me that this overarching goal serves just the opposite goal. It frightens them and then again leads them to wonder what is it that they need to do to secure their own security. And one thing I should add is that the modernization programs that the administration has put forward in the contemporary budget, the FY 2016 budget, are programs to modernize each leg of the triad. And I believe that there are folks in the administration, such as the new Defense Secretary Ash Carter, who are very seriously committed to modernizing U.S. nuclear programs. On the other hand, we know that within the White House there is and has been reflected and repeated again and again the goal to move to much lower numbers and ultimately to zero. In fact, we see voices out of the State Department continuing to repeat these as U.S. goals, even in the context of Russia's misbehavior in Central Europe and Chinese misbehavior in the South China Sea.
And unfortunately, as you know so well, and we've discussed with one of your colleagues at the National Institute for Public Policy, Dr. Mark Schneider, Keith Payne, it's not just misbehavior. It is a massive nuclear buildup in both cases that certainly makes whatever we're trying to do in terms of a modernization program pale by comparison, especially if those like Rose Gottmuller, a classic example, it seems to me, of what you call the nuclear utopians, has her way, or for that matter, President Obama has his way of leading the world towards ridding itself of nuclear weapons. Well, starting with ours, to what extent, Keith, and you've had in the course of various public and private fora conversations with some of these allies of ours, what are they saying about the implications for them, for the region, in the face of these kinds of buildups by hostile powers, in the face of the kind of aggressive behavior they've engaged in, of the need to have their own nuclear capabilities? I'm thinking particularly of Japan, maybe South Korea at the moment.
Well, again, what you hear, what one hears, and indeed what I hear, is that these countries, including the two that you mentioned, are increasingly concerned about the credibility of the U.S. nuclear deterrent. I don't see them saying right now it has been destroyed, but they're very worried about the track that the U.S. appears to be on and see the potential for the U.S. nuclear deterrent to lose its credibility. And at that point, they say, we will have to be in a position to reconsider what we need to do to preserve our safety.
All of which, again, adds to the dynamic towards a very highly proliferated world with very imponderable implications. To the extent that anybody is pondering these things, though, it is you, Keith Payne. We appreciate tremendously what you do at the National Institute for Public Policy and also the work that you do in grooming a new generation of national security-minded practitioners at the Graduate Department of Defense and Strategic Studies at Missouri State University. Keep up all that good work, please, and come back to us again, if you would, very soon. I hope the rest of you come back to us again tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.